Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. You got to check out the book because every chapter is about you. But anyway, and your problems, and we got problems. Where do I start today? Today is the 11th of July. My family has two birthdays coming up. We had two beautiful children on two separate occasions in the month of July. But if you read my book, it says about the author, he has four ugly children. I've changed my mind over the years. No, not really. It's all because of their mother they turned out good. It had nothing to do with their father. I was just the bring them along guy. Bring them along. Don't tell them where we're going. I even to this day, somebody said to me, I was at a wedding reception yesterday, and a couple of the relatives said, so are you coming to Ocean City? And I said, no, I haven't been given my sealed orders yet. I'm like a submarine commander. My wife waits till I'm out at sea before I can go in the safe and open up the sealed orders. So,
I don't know if you can hear me or not. Let me see what happened here. Let me hit, forgive me for this. Caught me completely by surprise. Let me test it.
You know, champagne is not champagne unless it comes from the province of Champagne. I learned that in bartending school.
We'll both go to Saudi Arabia, and we'll both go to the United Arab Emirates, and we'll do the shakedown. We'll shake down the sheikhs. But what leverage do we have? Oh, we have the power of the United States military. We'll use those privates that are dying to keep the country safe. We'll use them to make some money. Yeah, just say we're the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. That always rocks them. Instead of putting Kennedy's body on a caisson, they should put it on a driverless garbage truck and with the galoshes turned inside out, running down Pennsylvania Avenue. And then now they're going to make this guy a martyr, the martyr of the Communist Party. He's going to be buried in Lenin's. He's going to be buried in the Kremlin wall. This guy has done more. You know, it was in the letter that he sent to the Pope. He said he never killed Mary Jo Kopechne. It was Chuck Schumer. Lying to the Pope on his deathbed. That's what he did. What a joke. You know, the left has some terrible heroes. At least, and I noticed that when Obama was making, we're giving $63 billion to fight African AIDS. That he said he was only continuing Bush's work. Yeah, isn't that great? Bush spent $1 trillion. Obama's doing them 4-1. I'll see your trillion, and I'll raise you $3 trillion. Yeah, I'll tell you when I lost faith in George Bush, when I saw him on the same platform as President Pinocchio Pants, saying, how does this library thing work? You've made a good buck at it. What do I have to do? And Clinton said, yeah, just to follow me, I'll show you the ropes. I'll show you how to shake down people. You want your country back, it's going to cost you. You gave it away for nothing, now you're going to have to pay to get it back. Here's the good news today. By Monday, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, which started out at 75 cents and was supposed to be free because it's an intercity bridge, when it was paid for back in the 70s. And as soon as it was paid for, they raised the rates. Anything the government takes from you, they do not give back. All they say is, give me more. You never get your money back. And if you want to put an end to all this government waste and corruption, the first thing you got to do is fire everybody, both parties. You got to get a new broom and you got to sweep clean. You got to dump everybody out of office. And nobody, there should be no two-termers. We got plenty of two-timers, but we should eliminate two-termers. You get one term in office and you shouldn't even get paid for it. It should be like a vocation, like being a nun. Yeah, who gets a shawl when they turn 65. Yeah. Tell me about it. It's time to take your country back, and it's going to cost you. Every time I hear the words House and Senate, I see a runaway stagecoach, which is government, and I see pirates all killing each other around the treasure chest. As a matter of fact, I said there's two costumes that should be allowed in Washington for House representatives and senators. They should either have to dress as Arab sheikhs, or they should have to dress as pirates when they go to work. And some brave congressman who won't be elected the next time around because he has bolted against party rules has called for the House and the Senate to give up their medical benefits and take the same ones that they're going to legislate for the rest of the country. Yeah. Can you hear the laughter? Did you see the photo of Sarkozy from France and Obama looking at a woman's derriere, and Sarkozy is laughing like crazy? Thank God it wasn't Sarkozy and Clinton. Clinton would have pulled the dress up. Our illustrious draft-dodging president. Let me tell you something. Anytime you elect a president who has no military service, you're electing a fool with no skin in the game. And he may be an educated fool, but he's a fool just the same. Bartender, champagne.
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
If I seem to scintillate, it's because I've got a date with a package of the good things that come with love. You don't have to ask me, I won't waste your time. But if you should ask me why I feel sublime, I'm stepping out with my baby. Can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my honey, can't be bad to feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny, and I keep on knocking wood. They'll be smooth sailing, cause I'm trimming my sails. With a bright shine on my shoes and on my nails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me when will the day be? The big day may be tonight.
Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed.
I'm in right, it's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my honey, can't be bad to feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny, and I keep on knocking wood. They'll be smooth sailing, cause I'm trimming my sails. With a bright shine on my shoes and on my nails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me when will the day be? The big day may be tonight.
Hang in there, boys and girls. And I just knocked myself off. Let me get to the switchboard. Ta-da! Okay. I had a problem with my first upload. I don't know what went wrong, but we were doing weddings. Okay, let's see what we got. We got wedding and number one. That's the one we want. Here we go.
What amazes me is, in spite of everything that has been hurled against this country, we still stand. It is amazing. It's truly amazing. We are truly more resilient than we realize. Because there's a lot of chips being taken out of the granite that is our foundation. My family has two birthdays coming up. We had two beautiful children on two separate occasions in the month of July. But if you read my book, it says about the author, he has four ugly children. I've changed my mind over the years. No, not really. It's all because of their mother they turned out good. Had nothing to do with their father. I was just the bring them along guy. Bring them along. Don't tell them where we're going. Even to this day, if somebody said to me, I was at a wedding reception yesterday, and a couple of the relatives said, so are you coming to Ocean City? And I said, no, I haven't been given my sealed orders yet. I'm like a submarine commander. My wife waits till I'm out at sea before I can go in the safe and open up the sealed orders. So, a lot of guys, you know, they when their wife gives them commands, they do, yes, dear. I do, ja, oh, mein Führer. But let me dwell a little bit. First, I'll tell you about good luck. I don't believe in scratch-offs, but a couple of days ago, I met a guy who gets $1,500 a week from a scratch-off for the rest of his life. And when I met the guy, he looked like he had seen tough times. He had thrown himself against the barroom wall, and he was beaten up quite a bit. So I figure, you know, he hasn't had it too rosy, and self-inflicted wounds is usually the main reason. So, but he has a 10-cent store that he manages, or I thought he managed it. Turned out he owns it. And all of the other storekeepers are signing petitions to get rid of him because he clutters up the sidewalk with armoires and cheap furniture. But this guy brings his stuff out every morning. And just to bring it out, that's like an hour's hard labor. And then he's got to put it back at the end of the day. And he's open many hours. And so it turns out that he won a scratch-off. And he said, you know what he said? He says, I got to give back. He says, I've got four stores. My goal is to open 10, and then I'm going to sit back and relax. So he's got three in one borough and one in Brooklyn. And I said to myself, and he said it about three times, I got to give back. He says, did you see the nuns this morning? I said, no. He says, oh, they'll be around. There's nuns collecting money. I got to give back. I gave him a few bucks. An hour later, this beautiful nun, I'm telling you, you know, there's two kinds of beauty. There's physical beauty, and then there is soul beauty. And this nun comes in, and she is radiating. She is probably in her late 20s. She is completely enclosed in the nun's habit, full nun's habit. All you can see is the beauty in her face. And I recognize these nuns. I think they're an Italian order of nuns. And they come around once a year. So she has a book. She says, I'd like to give you this book, you know, like the Jehovah Witnesses do. And I thought she was giving me a book on Christian names. Saints names for children, you know, if you want to name your kid. And you know, you see the trend today, they name children after virtues like chastity, who's not too chaste, or is being chaste. They name them after train stations like Paddington, Chelsea. You know what I'm saying? they name them after hurricanes that don't have Christian names, like Beelzebub. But anyway, so the book I thought I was getting. So I reached in my pocket and I pull out a 20, and her eyes lit up. And I know why her eyes lit up, and so do you, because she's used to seeing ones. So I got two books, and I got a miraculous medal, which is the only decoration I'll ever receive in this lifetime. And I felt good. I did my good deed for the day, and I was set. So after that incident, I come home and I get my instructions. My sealed orders. We're going to a wedding tomorrow, Friday. And there's a church in Avenel, New Jersey. I think the name of the church was St. Edward's. And we go there, and I'm with some religious people. I mean, you think you know religious people? Let me tell you. I once went to a wedding reception with these people, to a wedding in downtown New York in my younger years, when I was a man about town, a wild and crazy guy. And we went through a solemn high mass, a wedding. And it was a Saturday. And we came out, and it was 4 o'clock, and the reception was until 6:30. And so I turned to all of my wife's relatives, and I said, "Great, let's go to a bar and have a few drinks." And they said, "Oh, no, we have to go to church." Church? What was that we were just at? The post office? No, that's a wedding. That doesn't count. We have to go to church for Sunday now. So if I went to church again, you know, the prisoner of Zenda. So here I am with the same people, and we went to this church in Avenel, New Jersey, and the reception was in the Irish Riviera, which I never knew. It's very low key, and you don't hear too much about it. But I'm told it's where the old Irish money is, and you know, the lace curtain Irish. And it's in, it's Spring Lake, New Jersey. And the place was a real nice place. I think it was called The Mill. And we get in, it got a beautiful bar layout. And I run into two of my wife's relatives. And they're in their 50s, I would say. And I remember their father. Their father passed away about 6 years ago. And he was a World War II vet. He was part of the Greatest Generation. And they were. They were the Greatest Generation. They took little, gave everything. Took little. You give him he gave his paycheck to his wife, and she gave him $2 for beer to last him a week. They were the Greatest Generation. He's up in heaven now with my father-in-law. They're at the end of the bar, and the beer is a nickel. The Greatest Generation. Unbelievable. Those who served and those who couldn't serve, they were great. They were fantastic. Sure, they had their shortcomings. Who doesn't? You're going to tell me Michael Jackson was a saint? So his two sons are talking about, one is in the insurance business. I thought he worked for AIG, but he worked for another company. But he knows very well the insurance business story. And the other one is in hospital care and an executive status. And I can see from the conversation, they both voted for Obama. And their father is spinning at 7,800 RPMs. When I used to go to wedding receptions and the father was there, he used to love to talk to me. He looked forward to seeing me there because it's in many families. The next generation is not on the same wavelength as the older generation. And they've been taught in communist cucumber school that the old are not to be trusted. But now they're old, and they want to be trusted. And you know that, right? Remember when the communists took over the government in the 60s? Outlawed the draft, so they wouldn't have to hide out in the Peace Corps. Yeah. Oh, my son's in the Peace Corps. Oh, your son's a traitor. Yeah. My son's in the Peace Corps. Give me a break. Or he's in college getting a deferment. I am surprised and shocked to learn. Well, both of these guys agree in socialized medicine. And they believe in universal health care. And I turned on my TV this morning, and there's Obama giving away $63 billion to Africa. And if you listen to my show a couple of days ago, you will hear me reading from Patton, who said in 1945, the rest of the world better learn to take care of themselves, because if we take care of the rest of the world, we will surely starve. And the day will come. The day will come when we do starve. And that day is not too far away. See, General Motors got rid of 30% of its workforce, and it was all executives. How's that? How's that for carrying dead wood? Now they're going to get rid of them. Now when they have government money. And it's not the government that's making them get rid of them. They just know they got to show. They got to produce. But the 3,000 dealers that got the shaft from Chrysler and General Motors, they're to be cast aside. They are the unclean. And I'll tell you something. I wish I had one car that could make eyes open. And I would go after those 3,000 dealers and say, guys, you may only sell one, but you'll still be in business. And we would start with one. And that's entrepreneurship. That's not man overboard. But, so going back to the two... the two sons of Jimmy the Warrior, the World War II Greatest Generation. They were given the best education that money could buy. They're both college graduates. And one tells me he just got two books on Teddy Roosevelt, and he's totally fascinated with Teddy Roosevelt. So, now, here's a guy that went all the way through college, doesn't know anything about Teddy Roosevelt. He's now reading about him. And I meant to tell him, I said, did you know that he was admiring Teddy Roosevelt for going after big corporations? And I meant to tell him that the Marquis de Lafayette, who served with Washington as an aide-de-camp, showed up in the colonies with his own ship and donated it to the U.S. Navy and then served as an aide to Washington for the entire revolution, including, I think, the surrender at Yorktown. I'm sure he was there for it. And he went back to France to help the French with their revolution. And in the beginning, he was instrumental in stopping Marie Antoinette and Louis XIV from leaving the country. And then they were beheaded. And eventually they turned on the Marquis de Lafayette, because in their feeding frenzy, they just couldn't stop. Their bloodlust. That's why I say the French killed the wrong people in the revolution. Never trust a country that kills its patron saint. But anyway, they buried the Lafayette in an unmarked grave. And Teddy Roosevelt sent a fleet of ships, his big stick navy, to France to get the body of Lafayette. And he brought it back and buried him with honors at Annapolis. I believe that's the story. And that's where Lafayette is today. But that's, Teddy never forgot our heroes of the revolution. See that? But you know who's forgetting our heroes of the revolution today? Obama bin Laden. $63 billion to Africa, he announces today. We're going broke. We're going broke, and he's got $63 billion for Africa to fight AIDS. When I was in Kuwait in 1993, I met a guy who was in the shipping business, and he asked me, he goes, where do I hide offshore money? I says, well, I put mine in Piggy of New Jersey. Yeah. And you know what he was making his money on? Condoms for Africa. And I just didn't bother me at the time. But one day I'm listening to a woman who's pro-life, and she's talking about her trip to Africa, and she's walking alongside the road towards a village that's about 6 miles away, and there's a woman on the side of the road, and she's dying. She needs antibiotics. And they picked her up, and they rushed her into this village pharmacy, or government pharmacy, and the guy says he had no antibiotics, and he opened up all his cabinets, and they were filled with condoms. How's that? That's what happens. And now Obama bin Laden is going to give $63 billion to Africa. You know where that money's going to go? It's going to go right into the pockets of the dictators. And that's what you do when you give aid to Africa. You enrich dictators, and the people don't see anything. Don't give aid. Don't give money. Don't give black market goods. Give Americans to go. And send Americans there, and let the Americans dispense it. And if the Americans aren't allowed to dispense it, then they don't get it. And you'll break that graft root right away. So hang in there a second, and when I come back, I'll tell you about the wedding reception. I'm back. At the bar with the two boys, all right, and these are great parents. They've raised their children. They're complaining about the cost of, for their grandchildren, preschool, and what's the other one where you give your kids, you put your kids in the pen until you come home from work? What do they call that? Yeah, and they're complaining about the horrors of that. Like, there's some kid was found drowned in a bucket. Oh, you got to get good quality, and there's no good quality like mom. That's why they call them moms. So between the healthcare, daycare, there's a big dilemma. And then this college graduate, okay, and I got to tell you, you've got God in your life, especially if you go to a private, if you go to a parochial school. You've got God in your life up to the eighth grade. You've got God in your life for four more years, even though temptation is working its way at you. But when you get into the universities, that's it. God goes out the window. And I'm talking about Notre Dame. I'm talking about Fordham. God goes out the window. As a matter of fact, you can, if you really want to save yourself, go to a yeshiva. At least you'll get Bible lessons. But when you go to Fordham University or Notre Dame, all of a sudden you're going to find out that abortion is a hobby. They are no longer preaching God's law. They are preaching a go along to get along. And we all know. So speaking of go along to get along, I go to this. Oh, they're complaining about the cost of college. Now, these guys had their colleges paid for by their parents. Okay? That father that got $2 for the rest of the week paid for his son's university, which was probably $40,000 a year. And he's complaining that a four-year college degree can be done in 2 years, and it's a big ripoff. And now I'm hearing more and more of this from other people. I'm hearing that people that went to college feel that they got shortchanged. So they both believe in universal health care, and I imagine that includes immigrants. And they strongly believe it. And I have to agree with them. Universal health care is an ideal goal, but not when you have a squandering government. I'm looking for a picture of a team of horses pulling a coach, and it's a runaway coach, you know, and the guy is trying to jump on the horses to stop the runaway coach, and I'm going to put a caption underneath. This is our government. We have a runaway government, and they are. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't even read the bills they pass. They laugh when you ask them about it. Did you read the bill? They laugh at you. Are you kidding me? Could you do that? Could you show up for work when you want to? And I told you, every time you see one of these senators or congressmen at a hearing, they always got two good-looking babes sitting behind them. Once that rings true, they'll change. They'll change the backdrop. Just like Obama had two girls with hijabs removed from his backdrop in one of his campaigns because he didn't want the Americans to think he was a Muslim. How's that? How's that for standing by your man? Eh? But anyway, so we're in this church, and it's a beautiful church, and it's in a Polish neighborhood, and the priest is Polish, and thank God for the Poles. Can you imagine living 40 years without God, 50 years without God, under the tutelage of the Soviet Empire? Can you imagine what it was like for these Poles, who are deeply religious? Very deeply religious. They got a pope. They got a pope. It was an old Italian guy, used to tease my father. And he'd go, "Hey, Pat, you know why no Irish are pope? Too much of this." And he'd make the symbol of drinking. Life is funny, huh? And the truth hurts. In this church, the lady sitting next to me, who is very religious, I mean religious, the lady sitting next to me says, "Gee, doesn't it look bare without the altar?" She's talking about when we had altars and the priest faced the altar with his back towards the faithful. And my wife says, "Yes." But over on the right-hand corner was a picture that haunted me. It's a picture of Jesus on a mountain, and he's on the rocky side of the mountain, and there's a big ravine. He's hanging over the ravine, and on a little ledge with nowhere to go is a lamb, and his hand is reaching down. The lamb can't go up, the lamb can't go down, and only Jesus can save him. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, can he grab that lamb by the back of his neck, of its neck, and pull it up? And I said, isn't that something, the strength of skin, you know? But it was very impressionable on me, that painting, because that's what life is all about. We are like lambs on a ridge, with no way to up and no way down without the help of God. So, having said that, let me tell you a joke about an atheist. This atheist is walking in the jungle, and all of a sudden he's confronted by a huge lion. The lion is roaring. The lion is snarling. The lion is getting ready to leap. And the atheist looks up in the sky, and he says, "I don't believe in God. But if there is a God, please get to this lion before he gets to me." And all of a sudden, the lion kneels down and starts praying. And the atheist runs up to the lion to hug it. And he hears the lion saying, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen." You like that one? I thought it was funny. But anyway, let me go to the reception, and then I'll give you some music, reception music. The reception was at a beautiful place. The drinks were a little expensive if you had to go to the bar, but they had an open bar, and that was the first problem. I got to tell you, the last three weddings that we've been to, we notice that the settings are beautiful, the tables are... The dance floor is wide open, and the youth are all at the bar. They're all at the bar, and only the bride and the groom are sitting there, and older people. And the bride and the groom probably want to be at the bar, too. As a matter of fact, I was at a wedding where the bride and the groom were at the bar also. And you know who that was for? That was for the World War II Greatest Generation, and his grandchildren were getting married. So I said to my wife, and my wife didn't like it at all. I said, you know what I would do? There would be no bar. You get your drinks at the table. And that's the only place you can get them. And an open bar is expensive. So there's about 160 people there. And I've heard of wedding receptions now where the bride and the groom lose 10 grand. They don't take in as much as they pay out, which is ridiculous. Especially when you go back two generations and the bride and the groom were told they were going to Niagara Falls and they had to take the bride's brother along because he's never been to Niagara Falls. Yeah, and they did it cheerfully. How's that? They did it cheerfully. But anyway, then they have a DJ, which I think is ridiculous. I like live bands. As a matter of fact, I grew up when the Catholic Church used to have dances. You could go any parish on a Friday night, they were having a dance. Good Shepherd had a dance. Corpus Christi in 125th Street had a dance. Every church had a dance. St. Jude had a dance. And on Sundays, after church, they used to have dancing over in Queens. I forget the name of the place. And people came from miles around. And there were priests and brothers there. And people danced and had a good time. And they had an open bar. Not an open bar, but they had a bar there. And you met somebody and you got married. Today, it's not like that. I say there are more nuns today than ever before. They don't know they're nuns, but they're living alone. And they've never married. Why not? Because they're disappointed in what's in the marketplace. And the guys feel the same way. So you got a clashing. It's no longer positive and negative. It's two negatives. And in order to have electricity, you have to have a positive and a negative. But anyway, so they had a DJ, and it was a guy and a girl, and the girl was in love with herself, and she sang songs that made her look good. And she didn't care who was there. And they played, then they started to play the dance music. Well, the dance music I've heard for 20 years, it's always the same ones. You know, hot, hot, hot. You know, I almost know them by heart. But there was one that everybody sang. They all knew the words to, and I didn't know the words to it. But they all sang, and I flash back to the Greatest Generation, who used to sing along with the bouncing ball, and everybody sang, and they had beer gardens, and everybody sang. And when I went to Germany, I used to go to beer fests, and everybody sang. And today they can't even dance. The guys can't dance at all. And the girls, they have like a little shuffle they do, and a shuffle and a wiggle. And that's all. They can't dance. They can't dance. Now, my son says he wants to learn ballroom dancing because he likes the Peabody. He's going back to the 20s to find the dance routine. And the girls that were the sexiest and the best looking, they were all doing the monkey. They were doing an African dance. I swear, I saw it in the Tarzan movie where the victorious tribe is returning from the hunt and everybody's got the spears and everybody's chanting. And that's what they were doing out on the stage. It was horrible. It was really horrible. And the girls, the only thing that was missing were the poles that the strippers lie down on. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But that's life, right? And I didn't see a lot of tattoos. I was surprised. I thought I was going to be in tattoo land because everybody has got a tattoo. Years ago, only submariners got tattoos and bikers and guys who served at sea. Whalers got tattoos. Now, you got girls that have them on their necks, on their backs. God bless Long John Silver. Yeah, give me a break. You know, guys used to get tattoos with mom on them. You don't even see mom on the tattoos anymore. It's unbelievable. They all got spider webs. And you know what? The next generation up is probably going to be anti-tattoo. And that tattoo is going to mark the old people. Oh, yeah, they're from that old generation where everybody got tattooed. Yeah. So, yeah, like I see the girl, she had Bismarck in 1929. And it's a sunken ship. She had a sunken ship on a tattoo. Give me a break, man. Stop it. And I always tease all these people with tattoos. I says, you know, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And they didn't know that. They're shocked when I tell them that. What am I going to do now? So, that was the wedding, and we got to meet some nice people. I had a few laughs, told a few jokes, drank moderately, because it's the only way to go nowadays. And a good time was had by all. And we vowed that we would only meet in happy times. You know what that means, right? That we don't have any wakes to go to before the next wedding. So, God bless America, the land that we love. And let me give you some dancing music.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
Of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the stars. happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are mine.
Thank you very much for calling Chase Manhattan Bank. And for Spanish, press 1. For Arabian, press 2. For Andorran, press 3. What you want to press for English? We got no buttons for English. Okay, press 75. Or you could try 5.
Para batir y cohibir, para batir y cohibir, para batir y cohibir, para batir y cohibir, para ti, para batir y cohibir, para mí, para batir y cohibir, para ti, para batir y cohibir, para mí, para batir, para batir.
And I'll tell you another thing. There is a conspiracy in the United States against the Irish. Do you notice that a lot of forms now, they won't allow you to use an apostrophe? So if your name is O'Doodle, you can't put the apostrophe after the O. And you know that what the apostrophe is there for, it shows possession. Possession of bills. We drop the O after we pay the bills. And another thing I hate is when I go to fill out a form and they want the mailing address, and they'll ask you for your country, and a window opens up and you got to go all the way down to you for the United States. United States should be on the top of that list. It should definitely be on the top. And if you can't put it there because of the U, just put the number 1. Hang in there.
I went to Chinatown, way back in old Hong Kong, to get some egg foo young. And then I heard a gong. Ling ting tong, try to sing that song called Tai Samoka Boo, Tai Samoka Boo. Ling ting tong, he would never be wrong. I wanna sing your song, Ling ting tong. Ling ting tong, try to sing that song called Tai Samoka Boo, Tai Samoka Boo. And as I look around, the lights were going down, and this is what I found. Back in Chinatown, a ling ting tong, try to sing that song called Tai Samoka Boo Da Ye, Tai Samoka Boo. Ling ting tong, he would never be wrong. Go on and sing your song, a ling ting tong, a ling ting tong. Tai Samoka Boo Da Ye, Tai Samoka Boo.
Petite conversation, j'ai toujours mon petit jardin secret qui est en moi et c'est très bien comme ça d'ailleurs.
Hi you boys and girls, it's Abu Tom, the American of fun, the mentalist. And I'm going to play you a tune and then I'm going to tell you a story. So now that you heard the tune, here is the story behind the tune. When Elvis was working in Las Vegas, he was out of his prime, and he was a little overweight, but he still drew a fabulous audience. And he did that song you just heard, and he sang it. He singled out a girl in the audience, and he completely mesmerized her with this song. And when he was finished singing the song, he walked over to the girl's table, and their eyes met, and there was magic in the air. And Elvis took her hand, and he said to her, "Are you going to eat that potato?" Oh, God. I heard Tom Snyder told that joke many years ago. I thought I'd share it with you.
Did you like that collage? Not bad, right? Something old, something new, something borrowed. Something blue. Let's see if I can.
I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies, but now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused the spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on a mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. You know I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and lit that spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. Never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
Find the Elvis story.